This is a Stand Up New York Labs production, providing you podcasts since 2013.
Conversation podcast with funny man Damian Lemon and the voice of your choice, Ali Muhammad.
This is In the Conversation. This is Damian Lemon.
This is Ali Muhammad.
And this is In the Conversation again.
The podcast.
The podcast.
You know,
coming through your earlobes.
Yeah.
You know, consensual.
You over there fucking with that mic heavy.
I was trying to make sure the mic was properly on the stand.
Okay.
Mike was out here looking crazy. Had the heroin nod on the microphone, but we back.
You was up there like one of them comedians coming up on stage.
Fussing with the
mic.
That's when it's going bad.
Trying to get the shit up and down to his height.
That's when it is going bad, man. I remember... Speaking of that shit, I remember one time being at the Cellar, and there was a bunch of comics in at the table. Chris Rock was at the table and shit. Rock at the table, you know what I mean?
At your table?
Yeah, we at the comics table, so we sitting there, I'm like, oh shit, you know, see the nigga peripherally. So
he at your table, but you see him in the periphery.
No, I'm just saying, like, you know what I mean? We ain't on that, hey, what up, D? What up, C? We ain't, you know, ain't there at that point. It's still, shit. Right, you know, I got some of my peoples that I'm fucking with. So we in a groove where we, you know, niggas is telling jokes and shit. Somebody was talking about a comedian with one arm. And I was like, that shit got to be awkward than a motherfucker when he bombed, when he trying to put the fucking mic back in the stand. Which I think the shit is funny visually. The niggas was laughing. I looked over, that nigga was not laughing. That nigga was just like... I bombed in front of that nigga. I was sick for like 3 weeks. Nigga, that nigga didn't think that shit was funny. That shit was funny. Niggas across from us laughed. Any fucking way, man.
Man, you know.
Bleep that nigga's name from the story, please. Anyway, edit point, please. Fucking keep it. But yeah, man, I remember speaking of that whole, because it is. It's a lot when you're nervous, adjusting that whole situation. One, the shit might be too short, so you're trying to pull the shit up,
right.
And then you pull the shit up too fast, and the shit hits you, or you got to play the shit off, the shit, you know, now you're looking silly, or the shit is too tight, you can't get the mic out, now you're looking like a fucking weakling, and then you finally, and the shit hits you again, and that's terrible. Or when you had a super bad slow set, and you're just trying to get the fuck out of there, and you cannot seem to find the damn, you just fumbling. All right, well, y'all, and it's completely quiet. The shit is like, all right, well.
That's why they invented the term drop the mic. Fuck it.
Good night. Yeah.
That's when you.
Fuck this shit.
When you're fucking adamant about your bomb.
You motherfuckers, yeah.
I'm out of here.
You
exclamation point.
You motherfuckers. Yeah.
Yeah, man, comedian life, man, it's, you know, I know a lot of cats that want to be it, and, you know, people come like, yo, I'm trying to be a comedian.
Yeah.
I have no advice.
Get on stage.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I have absolutely no advice.
That's
I don't
it.
Even know how the shit work. Because it's such, to me, that shit seems like such a difficult job, because it's so far removed from what anything that I would try. So... when somebody say that's what they want to do, I was like, man, I'd be first trying to assess their guts. Like, you know what I'm saying? Do you even really have the guts to do this shit?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? And then after that, it's just like, yo, hey, man, go ahead. You know? Because I don't know shit.
Yeah.
So you say your advice would be just get up.
Get on stage. And you know, it's so funny because I know what it is to be one of those people that was like, wanting to do the shit for a while, circling around and whatever. And every so often I'd run and get in contact or bump into a professional comedian, like a comedian that was doing that shit. You know what I'm saying? I remember asking, I remember being at one event. I ran into a comic that I fucking thought was dope or whatever. And I was like, yo, how you get into comedy? I'm thinking about getting in. He was just like, get on stage. and he stepped off. Like, but not on no dickhead shit, but it was just, it, I don't know if it felt like dickhead shit, because you know when you, when you looking for the word, right? Or you looking, you looking for a motherfucker to say, do it. You know, you looking for some profound.
Right, you looking for a gem.
Yeah, you looking for a gem, some type of adage, you know, but it's simple as get on stage, because it's really, there's no, what's the shit? There's no, I always say this shit in a joke. There's, oh, what the fuck is the word? The barrier of entry is low. There is no barrier of entry. All you got to do is get on the fucking stage. That's legitimately it. So what I always tell cats is go on, I go to say, go to badslava.com or badslava.gov, which is a website that it lists all the open mics in the country, maybe even the world. All like cities everywhere. So wherever you at, you go there and you find the closest open mic to you and you get on stage. And then you'll find out within them 5 minutes, 3 minutes or whatever they give you if you want to do that shit again.
Right.
And at that point, then it is what it is. And you just keep going.
Because in real life, like, you know, if you feel like you're funny, you can walk into the spot or in the room or wherever you're going and decide whether or not you're going to do this shit. You know what I'm saying? Today, you could test out your little joke, and if it worked, then you could take it all away.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Or you might walk into somewhere like, you know, I had a friend whose house was like Def Comedy Jam just on a regular day.
Right.
All the family just sitting around. Everybody walk in, going to get it.
Yeah.
So you either got a quick comeback or you just got to eat it. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So in that case, you kind of forced to dig into your wit.
Step your game. It's like the cafeteria.
Yeah, you know, but then to think about, okay, you get walk out there in the middle of them lights and shit, and it's just you. You know what I'm saying? Nobody to, you know, banter back and forth with. It's just your shit out of your head and shit. That shit seems terrifying.
Yeah. Sometimes it can feel terrifying. When you're thinking, yo, what the fuck am I going to say next? Shit. But then you just... You get into it. You be in that moment. You recognize that moment. And it's like, I don't know. It's one of those things. You gotta do it to truly understand it. But it's one of those things where it's like, and it evolves. Every day it's different. Like, it becomes a different thing. Like, you know, I was talking maybe to Vlad or somebody, right? And, you know, like, I remember, I forget who said this shit, but they were like, less jokes, more me. I forget who said that shit first. And I thought that was kind of, it was interesting at first, but I didn't all the way get it. I kind of get it. Like, you just peel back, and the more honest you are, the more honest you are, right? In that moment, it becomes more about the connection than the jokes, right? So, like, if you think of some of your favorite comedians, you might not, you know, because I've been seeing, like, a lot of people been going in on comedians. You know what I'm saying? Like, the Breakfast Club is becoming people's court for black comedy and shit.
Really?
Yeah, if you've been paying attention, it's hilarious. So niggas is going in on each other, and, you know, part of one thing that
people's court.
That's what it feels like. But there's one thing that they keep saying. What the fuck was my point? Was, you can't name one such and such bit. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can't name whatever comic, can't name one bit by that comic.
Right.
Hey, that's an interesting, that's a slick dart to throw at somebody, because I do feel like, a shout out to Cuzzo DeVille, you shouted him out last week. I remember he was one of the first niggas to ever tell me, he was like, yo, most people ain't never seen their favorite comedian live. Mm. And when he said that shit blew my mind, because I'm thinking of all my favorite comedians. At that point, I probably hadn't seen but maybe one of them live.
Right.
And I felt like I'm a comedy nerd or a nigga that love it. You know what I'm saying? And I was like, that shit's kind of, that's deep, right? But at the same time, I, you know, depending on the comedian, I could probably, I'm a comedian, so I could pull a bit. Oh, yeah, I know a bit by such and such, da-da-da-da-da. You know, but that's just me. That's like being a DJ. Yo, you probably don't know one such and such record. You're like, nah, nigga, da-da-da-da-da.
Right.
Right? But honestly, it's more about how niggas feel in that moment, right?
And feel about you across the board. I know it's the art of being on stage in front of the mic, but to Cuzzo's point, I don't know. I mean, I don't even know when last comedy show I went to, you took me to Louis C.K. or, you know what I'm saying? Or probably one of your stand or some shit where y'all was at.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So I haven't been the one in years, but you know what I'm saying? But you see comedians do their thing in other places. I've never seen Lil Duval, I seen him live once, maybe early in the game,
right,
real early. But I see his comedy on Twitter, you know what I'm saying,
right,
on Instagram, right, you know what I mean? That's, to me, that's where I get his comedy.
Right.
I get, you know, all the other comedians from social media or their shows or, you know what I'm saying, appearances or shit, yeah, like that. But rarely from the stand-up itself.
Right.
Unless it's a special, like, you know, somebody with a special.
Right.
So I get that. So, but as far as comedian to comedian, I guess they're referencing, you know, cross-referencing the art of, right, of doing the shit. Is they really doing it the way, you know, you're supposed to do it or not?
Which is evolving, which is all changing.
Right. It's, and all art forms is changing.
Absolutely. Again, but the beauty of art, if it's an art form, right, the beauty of art is there is no real boundaries to it. There's, you know, there's craft and there's, you know, there's, I don't want to say rules, but then there's, you know, there, I guess there's, what do you want to say? I don't like to say rules, but there's things that have been patterns and things that have been going on for years and, right, whatever, schools of thought.
Right.
But the beauty of it is you could always challenge that shit. Like, right, oh, nobody ever considered doing it until this person did that shit. You know, right, what I'm saying? But yeah, go ahead.
And in the end, it's the people that's really going to decide whether that shit cracked or not.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, shit, that was crazy. You know, right, what I mean? And then it's something to do, you know?
Right.
I mean, speaking of which, you know, they had that conversation on the shop.
Okay.
With Drake.
Yeah.
Talking about battle rap.
Uh-huh.
And rules to it and all that shit.
That shit sounded crazy. That shit sounded crazy that all of a sudden, there are no rules to the shit. This shit, you know, anything goes. But it's so funny. People do say, yo, there's got to be rules. That was, yeah, too low. That was too far.
Well, I don't think, you know, at least I hope he didn't mean rules like somebody wrote down some rules in the rule book. I think he has the privilege of history to be able to look back at shit. So when Jay-Z went too far, it wasn't a rule book that said Jay-Z went too far. It was kind of like the reaction, people's reaction.
Right.
When he went far, for him, a relatively reserved artist that would shoot some darts but really stay cool and low-key about shit, to go out and jump out the window and say the things that he said about Nas.
Right.
It didn't feel right to the audience. You know what, right, I'm saying? It felt like, ooh, that don't seem right. But if somebody else had said it, you know what I'm saying? If some other Wildcat rapper had said that shit, it would have been nothing.
Cameron said it.
Yeah, if Cameron said it, it would have been some, you know, oh, okay, that's wild shit to say. But for Jay, the consensus was he went too far.
Yeah, and to your point, that's from looking at it from a historical angle.
Right, but when you in it, Drake, the people didn't decide that that was too far.
No.
You know what I'm saying? Because, especially, you know, when you had already mentioned his fiance or whatever. You know what,
yeah,
I mean? So
he was the one that said it was really his mother that said it was too far, because then he went up to Angie
Jay-Z's mother
and pulled it back. Like,
right,
yo, my mom's told me that shit was too far. I jumped, right, blah, blah,
but,
blah.
But people felt that way. It was just like the general was like, ooh, damn.
Oh, but
And then his mom was like, dog, you tripping.
But that's good fucking, that's a good battle. That's just, right, like good comedy when you like, oh, I don't know if I should laugh at that shit. That's, whoa, that's a little much. And maybe publicly people were like, that shit was too much.
Right.
But then the person that loved the battle privately, not even privately, but amongst motherfuckers, right, would be like, yo, that one shit, then he said, like that, it ranks up there with some of the worst lines. It's like a roast, some of the worst fucked up shit. When Cameron talked about, oh man, what was this nigga's name? Sam. He talked about this one cat's dead moms. That was way too far. You know, like there's a list of that was far as fuck. You know, the condoms on your baby seat. That was far.
I mean, it just felt what?
It just felt a little.
Like, why are you even thinking about that, dog?
But you're not gonna forget that shit, though. You're going like every so often, it's like, oh, remember this shit. Like, it shows you how far it could go. So back to the Drake shit. He's looking at it from the historical view, right? And he's playing, right, it like a, he's playing his career almost like a stock, playing this, right, battle, like hedging it a little bit. Like, well, right, history says, you know, when, right, you go too far,
right,
you know,
that's the rule.
It And then my thing is, how much of it? One, that's fear based. You know what I'm saying? Because now you getting afraid of some shit. You inheriting some fear of the community. Like, it's communicated fear.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? The way people are like, I wouldn't do that.
Right. Well, I just think since this has passed and he has time to collect his thoughts and, you know what I'm saying, his position on it, I'm sure he knew that they were going to talk about it. That's why he talked about it in a safe space amongst his friends and, you know what I'm saying, his boys.
Right.
You know, which was good. I think he just had time to really think of how am I going to position this. And that's some shit that had been out there, a conversation that had been out there. Did it go too far? Was it against the rules of the game? Blah, blah, they skipping the third. But, you know, him being in it as a competitor, it's more of a I think if he had taken out the part about rules, you know what I'm saying, yeah, and just left the part about, you know, when he talked about, you know, my mama is whatever, whatever. He don't know my people like that. And when we talked about 40, you know what I'm saying, that pissed me off. That's probably a better position to take than he broke the rules or it should be some rules.
No, hey.
You know what I'm saying? Because he's really talking about, okay, how he felt about it and not trying to be a judge or like a, you know, a governor of the board of rap rules and shit.
But he does become that because of his influence. Right, the fact that we even having this conversation is because he said that. You know what I mean? And there's people that side with him because they fans.
For sure.
But this is my thing. I feel like I like battle, right? And I like, he said he studies battle rap for a living, right?
So, and he studied the historical outcomes of the battles that pre-existed.
Exactly. So he's looking at the shit like, you know, one of them Robert Greene books. He's like, see, that was a low point in Jay-Z's career. Even though Jay bounced back, you barely hear about that shit.
But Drake, Jay going too far wasn't where he lost that battle. Wasn't where the battle was lost. The battle was lost when Nas came back. With Ether.
Nah, well, the battle was lost because they put Ether up against Super Ugly on the radio.
But which came first? I thought Super Ugly came first and then Ether.
No, Takeover came, then Ether came.
Oh.
And then I want to say Super Ugly came. Check out the title. I'm almost positive. And then they put the two up against each other. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I'm almost positive. And niggas was like,
I thought it was kind of like day after day. Like, it was like, it wasn't at the same time. It was like
Takeover had come out on the album. Like, Jay, on some Jay shit. Came out on Blueprint. Came out on the album. Almost positive Blueprint. All right, came out on the album. Some Jay-Z shit. You know, he only did shit on the album. Then Nas came with Ether, which I think even that came on the album, right? Or it might have got leaked to Flex or some shit like that.
Yeah, that shit came out on the radio.
All right, so boom. And it starts off, fuck Jay-Z. So niggas is like, uh-oh. And you also got to realize, niggas have been shooting at Nas for a minute.
Right.
So people kind of were, like, not burying Nas, but people was kind of saying, oh, it might be over for Nas. Nas is, he wild passive. And then back then it was like he hadn't had a super crazy hit in a minute. Jay-Z was killing him on the charts. They were saying his ear was trash, blah, 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 whatever, whatever. So, especially after Takeover, where the nigga kind of sized up his career in a way that's like, ugh. And the nigga Nas came back. And niggas was like, wait a minute. Right. But then I think...
Super Ugly came after Ether.
And then Jay went in the studio quick on some fast shit because he went over that Dre beat. I forget what record it is, or like a West Coast. These men just wanna be with me.
Bad Intentions.
Yeah, the Bad Intentions shit. And she ain't playing. And the shit was a hard freestyle, but it just wasn't. It wasn't ready for Ether.
Nah, Ether had took his soul out. Like, it just went too deep. It was too crafted. Too motherfucking. It was too straight on. And Super Ugly was more off the cuff. And it just felt like Ether hit some real points in a motherfucker psyche, as opposed to just telling some jokes on a nigga and claiming, or whatever you claiming about hitting his baby moms and all that.
I think also, like I said, I think it benefited from the momentum of Niggas thinking Nas wasn't gonna respond. Like, Nas had been kind of playing the high road for a bit, or like, right. You know
the
what
whole
I mean?
Time.
And like, yeah, like chilling, like, you know, and it's like, you know, like we talked about a couple weeks ago, it's like that cheerleader video where Shorty ain't wanna fight. And then she mopped her. Right. It came out of nowhere. In retrospect, and even in that moment, not even maybe not in that moment, because everybody was like, oh shit, no, it's crazy, da 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 da. I made it closer to that moment. I always felt like, first of all, I was never, because later on the comparison became Takeover Ether, but that night it was Ether Super Ugly, right? But if we're going Takeover versus Ether, I'm still going Takeover. I think Takeover's a better record. The shit sound better. I know you said the off the cuff shit, but I like how he kind of chopped this nigga's career up, reduced it to some,
Yeah, but I think with Ether.
Ether was more like dick sucking lips.
Not even
whiskers
just
like a rat.
Not even that. It's just like, nigga, you wanted to be me. I don't even know how you got my fucking number. Like, you know what I'm saying?
That was hard.
He was like just breaking, you know, he was like breaking them down. Like, nigga, you've been on my nuts for years. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then after, even when Jay dropped Super Ugly after that,
yeah.
It was kind of like, damn, you fucking this woman. Like, you really been on this nigga's nuts. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just kind of made it all seem true.
Well, you say 38 in the karate class.
Exactly.
Top boho.
Right.
It was funny lines in there.
And he was actually taking that shit.
Was he for real?
Yeah, because that was like, that wasn't like, I mean, it was like, industry shit that people said that they was taking, you know, these
what,
boxing
tie bows,
some old fancy shit, just how Russell was doing yoga and
like
shit.
Pilates and shit like that.
Yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? Some fly ass, you know, Tai Chi shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that was kind of like some industry talker. That's some fly shit to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
And then when, you know, when Nas put it on the record.
Sound crazy. It just sound crazy.
Right, you know, 38 taking karate. You know, it was,
oh,
but you know, again.
Shout out to anybody 38 in a self-defense class.
Hey, man, shout out to anybody keeping their health together at whatever age. You know what I'm saying? That shit is funny on the record, but in real life, when hypertension hit and the sugar and all that shit started to creep around, you'll get your ass in the Tybo Pilates class.
That cardio.
You know what I'm saying? Get your shit together.
That cardio. But go ahead. So,
I mean, like I said, there's no rules to this shit. Ain't going to be no rules because it's motherfuckers talking shit.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying? And when a motherfucker get to talking shit, you going to start getting cut to the heart, cut to the white meat on that shit.
But that's my point, though. I feel like nigga pulled out the rule book in the midst of battle. This is my thing, and I understand it as a business move, because I feel like it's more of a business move. It's more of a, I got to make sure that I maintain my career. I don't want to fuck up my profile. I don't want my fans to look at me as this type of malicious guy. I'm Canadian. You know, Canadians are nice people, blasé skip. But I feel like that nigga could have survived that whole shit. Because one thing is, as big as Drake is, I think his fan base is segmented as fuck. I don't think some of those big Drake fans even knew no parts of the Duppy freestyle. They probably never even heard that shit.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, it wasn't his decision solely. You know what I'm saying? It was other factors that came into play. When they said, you know, my man came in and kind of mediated the shit a little bit. I think he just went with what was right for the entire situation. You know what I mean? He could have kept going back and forth with that shit. But he dropped his album and that shit hit. And that really is in the past. If he hadn't said none of that shit on the shop, you know what I'm saying? It would have just kept on fading in the wind.
Yeah.
You know, I think by them saying it on the shop, it gave that particular show some burn. You know, a lot of talk in the streets, you know.
Access.
A lot of, you know, it gave them that authoritative position of being able to get that interview.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? That's gonna play heavily going forward in the type of people that they get on the show and the things that they're able to talk about, even though, you know what I'm saying, they're in each other's circle real tight. So it wasn't that far of a stretch to get that kind of interview. But I think it sets a precedent for the types of talk that they could have on there.
Who would you want to see on there?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, right now I'm just enjoying what they're giving me. It's all brand new. It's you know, it's like our conversation, but with niggas with a lot more bank.
Uh-huh.
But they talking the same kind of talk we talk. So I enjoy it however they do it. If it was just them talking some shit, it'd be interesting. But I didn't see the, you know, I didn't see where they had the woman, the basketball woman on there, but I didn't see where they made a lane for her to actually fit into the conversation.
Yeah, it was kind of more like it was. I don't say for divert. She had a point. She they gave a they she spoke to I think it was
family. No, the other woman. The other woman spoke to family on the other
show. She spoke to like equal pay,
right?
And maybe even like therapy too, but definitely equal pay because I remember that was like the last point that LeBron like he was like I'm all with you, I'm an ally, and then they cut to the Drake shit.
Right. I think. If they set it up to where they had a woman on there that can go toe to toe with them in a longer conversation, I think that'd be interesting.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Where they could really have some real conversation and not just, you know, a little side, just a little chime in.
I saw something on Twitter where they were saying, they were saying that he might be the first one to get the Beyonce interview. that'd be a super flex. I'm curious what type of conversation that would be.
They would have to just. They wouldn't have. They couldn't have too many other motherfuckers on there.
Nah, they had to go to. Yeah, they had to go to.
Bron, Mav, and Beyonce and shit. Just
at Tina Knowles's salon.
You know what I'm saying? Exactly. No break. Just all the way through.
Nah, I mean, but yeah, that'd be an interesting conversation. Would you be interested in hearing those two speak?
Yeah, definitely. If they going to do real talk. You know what I'm saying? I wouldn't want to see, you know, PR talk. I would want to see.
What is real talk? What does that mean?
Real talk is when you just, this shit we do. You know what I'm saying? This shit that be going off the rails because, you know, you ain't got no script. So you be saying wild shit that you might regret later.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Or it's just where you could get into a place where you're not talking about the project or your crafted image.
Right.
It's just like, you know, like
no speaking points.
Like what LeBron is doing in this particular thing is breaking out of the mold of his very crafted press voice that he's been using since he came in the league. And he's been dope at it from the time from out of high school. Yeah, so, you know, when I got the stats and blah, 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 I'm just playing for the team. You know what I'm saying? He don't break that mold when he in front of the press.
Uh-huh.
But I think his whole point with doing uninterrupted and shows like this is if the athlete had their own voice without the media manipulating it, how would it sound? And I think that's what he's doing, because he be on that shit, motherfucker.
That's what I think real talk is. When you add a motherfucker and a nigga, then it was a whole. This has got a parental advisory.
You know what I'm saying?
LeBron said nigga, because that's what the first, I remember that was like the first response. I was looking at it on Twitter, and niggas was like, that's what it almost, not to say it legitimized it, but that's back where, because, oh, this is a real conversation. This ain't no bullshit. This nigga said nigga about seven times. I'm enthralled. We started seeing shit like that.
Right.
Then it's also the fact that they successful, right? Because that also makes you tune in and listen to what niggas got to say, because you know that they've done well.
And
but the same motherfucking message be coming from somebody that was not even broke as shit, but just average as fuck.
Us.
Regular niggas. Right. Yeah, exactly.
But it's people that listen to us.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I was trying to build us a little higher than just saying? The average motherfuckers.
But I'm just saying, in comparison, it's
fuck
them.
That,
it's
nigga.
Them. Price bracket and then tax bracket. But man, the thing is, if you get them in there talking real shit, and if you, all right, yes, they have bread.
This is what I want. Go ahead.
They have bread, but at the same time, damn, you made me forget.
Go ahead.
If
get them having talk.
But I forgot my point. I was leading up to a point.
I'm sorry about that.
But go ahead. What they
should have is they should have like a delegation of niggas like us. That get to ask some questions too, that might be aspirational in tone.
Right.
Because I think that's what a lot of motherfuckers want to know. And I forgot who was saying this shit. I don't know if it was, I think it might have been Meek Mill saying like, he said, you know, he'd be having these meetings with all these billionaires, you know, Sixers owner and all that shit. And he was like, you know, I just ask these niggas real questions. Like, yo, how did you make that money? Like, what, you know, like the most basic questions that you might want to, you know, like if you at the Q&A at the symposium, you try to throw a few flowery words around it, but when it all said and done, you like, how did you get there? Or even more specifically, like,
can I get from here to almost there?
Right. Or even if it goes further than that, if it's just like, what's your thought process when you choosing who you're going to work with? You know, blah, 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 whatever, 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 right. Like, you know, I would love to see somebody, maybe not Warren Buffett. I would love to see somebody.
That's that guy. He probably, I mean.
No. But what I'm saying is, like, I would love to see somebody like, and I'm thinking of Warren Buffett just because he's an authority in that space, but I would, and they've actually done it, I believe. They did it. I've seen it. But, like, even more so, like, I want to see somebody like that with Jay-Z.
That's Forbes.
But, like, no. But breaking down the career on some super business shit, like, where we going through the minutia of the business. I want to see that shit. Like, how niggas break down the blueprint and they say, this is the producer. I kind of want to hear about how we came up, how this was. How, okay, so this is the first time we did that, and I put some money in this, and that turned to this. You know, I mean, it sounds crazy and nosy to the motherfucker, but shit.
They got a little documentary on Warren Buffett that I watched one night on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
He been at it since.
Oh, I seen
he
that.
He's a little motherfucker, man. He been on top of that shit for a long motherfucking time.
And he tight with his paper.
No doubt. He go to McDonald's every day.
Word.
Get the same shit.
Yeah.
Depending on how much, you know what I'm saying, the shit costs.
That's hilarious. that's ill though, but that's crazy. What's also crazy too, I forgot, was, that's just his pace, right? And that's that steadfast of what, a couple cents, right?
Mm-hmm.
If the market's low, I'm gonna go low too. I'm gonna save a couple cents because that's really what it is. And sometimes, like, from the outside, stocks and bonds, at least when I was growing up, like, especially like in the 80s when like capitalism was like super hot, Wall Street, movies like that was cracking and greed is good, and stocks and bonds back in Trump with the art of the deal, it felt like, you know, it was a lot of high rolling, big wins. We smoking great cigars because we just made thousands in a fucking millions. Day. Yeah, millions in a day. And then when you look at, honestly, how people are truly making money, that shit is not, you know, outside of the super windfall or some illegal shit, like, it'd be incremental as fuck.
But it's like everything, like, you looking at shit, right? You know, we look at this, like, with black people especially, uh-huh. You know what I'm saying, because when they show us, we either super fucked up or super cracking. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
It's a few, you know, it's like Jay-Z, LeBron, Beyonce. You know uh-huh. what I'm saying? Or regular niggas. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? But you don't really get those stories of the dude who make the buttons that's on your motherfucking shirt.
Uh-huh.
And that supplies buttons to, you know, 75% of the fashion industry. Or the motherfucker YKK from the zippers and shit. Who just rich as shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But just on a steady, you know what I'm saying, yeah. out of the way ass motherfucking thing.
Yeah.
You know? You know, it's everything you use. Somebody is fucking making bread off of it. Somebody invented that shit. Somebody put it into play.
Uh-huh.
It's a store in Brooklyn that sell pencils, man, that's doing $1 million a year just selling pencils.
Uh huh.
Just it. Pencils in 2018.
Yeah, there's a store in Tribeca, like downtown too. There's a whole your fucking pencil store. Bug
right.
me out.
Right.
Niggas like pencils.
You know what I'm saying? So it's all of these ways, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And people want to hear the stories of the super famous uh-huh. and rich.
Uh-huh.
But it's a motherfucker right around you. This motherfucker the bodega getting it. You know yeah. what I'm saying? A New York bodega. Is getting it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
They come in there with they just white t-shirt on.
Quiet.
Driving on a regular ass thing. Drive their ass out to Queens at the end of the night. Living good.
Yeah.
Because everybody from those four blocks is coming to that one store every day. You know what I'm saying? It's some people that don't even go to the grocery store because they shop at the bodega.
3-4 times a day.
You know what I'm saying? They eat breakfast there, buy cigarettes, mm-hmm. get all their lotto tickets. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Beer.
Mm-hmm. Steak and cheese.
You know what I'm saying? Chopped cheese.
Mm-hmm.
So it's that bread is all around you. You know what I'm saying? We just looking at a very few ways to get it because that's what we see and that's the stories that we really hear the numbers. You don't hear the numbers on the YKK zipper dude.
It's not shiny enough.
You know what I'm saying? It's not in the news. It's not news at all. It's just a motherfucker being steadfast on a business and keeping that shit dutiful and motherfucking consistent.
Yeah. That's it. That's what they do. That shit ain't sexy at all. That shit, that don't sound fly, but that's the key.
You know what I'm saying?
That shit is regular to the motherfucker.
Exactly.
Ah.
But the end result don't be regular.
Yeah.
When you get up and you go to work and, you know, you work and you tap out at the motherfucking salary that they set for you and you work that shit until you find something better and then you do that. That's regular. That's what we regular people do. That's what we do. But then if you put yourself in a position and you make something that other people can enjoy and it ain't fly and sexy, it's just some shit that motherfuckers need, some shit that motherfuckers want, and you just do it over and over and over and over.
Yeah, you get it. You get it. But, you know, back to the sexiness. You know, they even taking the small wins away. Like, remember they used to have the penny arcade? You know, like you go to TD Bank or something like that, and you got that big jug of fucking pennies and nickels and quarters and shit that you dump into that shit. And, oh, shit, a motherfucker got $79. That little win used to feel good. Oh, shit, they killed that.
What you mean they killed it?
You don't have those no more. They shut them down.
You can still roll up your damn coins and take them to the bank.
I mean, you could do that. That shit is not, it's fun. It's what I'm saying. Like, it's not an arcade. It's solitude with a motherfucker.
You need that dopamine. You need some excitement.
Yeah, I'm just saying, man. Make this incremental shit kind of sexy.
It'd be sexy when you close that next account and you sell it, you know what I'm saying?
It's yeah.
That's you have to get into what your business is, man. You have to get into the sexy of your shit.
It's like that's like the that scale is like fucking Dave Ramsey to Quavo. Somewhere in the middle of this whole fucking increment. You never heard of Dave Ramsey? You know Dave Ramsey?
Yeah.
The fucking Susie Orman other type of dude.
Mm-hmm.
That you say, "Hey Dave, how you doing?" He says, "Better than I should." I like that sensibility. That's super like incremental as fuck. Better than I should. That's the illest. That's the illest.
You gotta look at it, man.
I love it. I love it. I'm not gonna lie. I like all that tedious shit.
Even in my field of work and shit. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying? Like it would be sexy to, you know, go and shoot a movie and, you know what I'm saying, do some fly TV shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But to get there, you know. You had to work and you had to put in the work and write the scripts and right. fucking get the shits done. And when I was looking at my shit, you know, you had like the shit, the big brand shit that you do where you directing and you feeling like somebody. And then you had the event shit you do where you just the cameraman. As people look at you, you're the cameraman in the party.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They go, no video man.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Which ain't as sexy. But as I started doing my motherfucking calculations and, you know what I'm saying, and the more work you get, you have to really fucking be intent about what you're doing. I discovered that shit, the event shit, while it wasn't as fucking shiny, shit, it netted more money.
Mm-hmm.
Not in that it paid more money, mm-hmm. but it didn't take as much time. It didn't take, it don't take nothing out your brain. You know what I'm saying? You go, you show up, you shoot that shit, especially on the big ones where you're doing four in a row at like an Essence or a Super Bowl, All-Star, and the budget you're getting paid on this is the same as you get paid on other shit, but it ain't as sexy, but it take less time. You know what I'm saying? You do that shit that day, the edit is fucking quick,
mm-hmm.
and you're done. Mm-hmm. Shit is over. Mm-hmm. On big shit where you directing on some big corporate shit and motherfuckers got to do 10,000 conference calls and 20 meetings and, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
A lot of back and forth and a lot of communication and shit. you might make more on your check, but you spent all that shit in time. You know what I'm saying?
Sweat equity.
Yeah, sweat equity. You done put all that shit back into that. Mm-hmm. They done got the tax on your ass. But in the other shit, you do it, you get it, boom, knock that shit out and just stack them bitches up. Uh-huh. And so, you know, I didn't take that off my board. I kept that on my board.
Right.
And that is the difference. And you know what I'm saying? It's the difference in fucking waiting on a net 60 check and just having shit just popping.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? You ain't stressing on net 60 because you got shit popping.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good momentum.
You know?
Yeah. And that's, you know, that's when you, in, you know, that's where they get your sexy content there. Right. So that's when you see the motherfuckers that are like, they work for themselves and then they take these leisurely Instagram photo shoots and shit, waiting for business. And you see the motherfuckers like, all right, I'm fair enough. You had your time. You're not over there sweating. Netting, you using you leveraging that downtime.
Yeah, whatever.
That you saved. No. That's a good. What I'm saying is that's a whole nother way of giving off that little that sexy content. I don't know why I'm thinking this so much. I just been
you've been feeling not sexy.
Nah, I don't know about that.
You got it. You're on the fucking billboards on TV. Nigga, you sexy as shit. Balls.
Yeah, we don't need that type of conversation. That was crazy. Looking out, I appreciate that. Nah, man, I don't know, but I was just looking at the context of shit, how things are presented to you,
uh-huh.
and how much of that impacts how you receive it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, it's the marketing of shit. You know, I'm just, you know, we just talking. I don't even know how we got into this. We talked about...
He was talking about sex. He was talking about Beyonce being on the shop.
No, well, basically it was saying that the trivial part of success, I like the shit. I'm interested in all of that, hearing that shit, hearing a Jay-Z, hearing a Beyonce talk to someone like a fucking, you know, what we said, Warren Buffett or whatever, like breaking down a little small incremental shit. And then we start talking about how the incremental ain't really the flyest shit. And then, you know, that's what we got. A good recap of where we were in the conversation, in the midst of the conversation.
Thank you for that, D. Lemon.
It is, man.
D. Lemon's recap.
There you go. I was thinking about there could be a spinoff podcast of after podcast thoughts. Because I just seen a comedian downstairs. They just got done doing their podcast. I was like, how was your podcast? They went, it went pretty good. You know, I think it was a good one. It's always funny right after the taping. A couple minutes later, like,
did I say that shit? That shit was too much real
talk.
Did
I say that motherfucker's full name?
How many times did I say motherfucker?
I don't know. Did we talk about chicken again?
Damn, did I say Norm Sand?
Yeah.
I had no idea, but how many times?
It is what it is.
You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. Seen old what? Go ahead. What you
going to say? No, seen old what?
I was going to say, never mind.
What? Come on, man. You can't do that shit.
I was going to say, you seen old Corner Store Kathy. Did you see, is that her name, Corner Store Kathy? But I mean, I feel like everybody done talked about this shit.
Nah, man, didn't on the aim, man. I tried not to bring
the record in. You're like, no, like, hear the record.
The shit was crazy from the rip, right? You know what I'm saying? But when I watched the video, to me, bitch look like a drug addict. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
It ain't even little. You know what I mean? It wasn't like, you know what I mean? It, as far as, yes, she is something to be said about it, but police ain't taking serious. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Hey, they didn't even come. It was some bullshit.
Right.
And she looked high. You know what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
Like, you know, after they was walking out of the store, she gyrating in the air. I'm like, this bitch on drugs.
Oh, I ain't see that.
On heavy drugs.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it was kind of like, fucking crackhead, you know? So crackhead Kathy in the corner store.
That's it, Kathy. Is it Kathy?
I don't know. I just made that shit up.
But it's so interesting how social media and surveillance cameras could change everything. That was like an Emmett Till situation with the benefit of technology and motherfuckers getting together and getting a motherfucker all the way out the paint.
Right, no doubt. But if you took the cameras away,
yeah,
and all you have was that interaction. Still, nothing happened. Not to say that it couldn't happen. Like, shit definitely could happen, but ain't shit happen.
Oh, absolutely.
That
no, no, no,
in
no,
that
no,
situation,
no.
Ain't shit happen.
I'm talking about the premise of it all.
Right.
I'm not saying,
premise.
I'm not
I
saying,
think,
no, it, fortunately enough, nothing, the shit, it, that's what I'm saying. Like, due to the fact that it's almost like, it was like almost instant replay. Like, I saw a video of everybody watching the replay with her in attendance. And it was like, the shit was like the game. It was like the fight, the Khabib fight. They're right. Like, see, this is where you bugged out right here. Fuck, see, obviously, she was looking stupid.
And it was she high?
She might have been high. I didn't even think about that. But it was definitely a moment where it was like, I went too far. And rather than just say, my bad, and step out the whole situation, my bad, that was a fucker. I miscommunicated that shit. She stood down on some, oh, you know what? Because then she got checked. And she was like, I feel bad that I've been checked. I'm calling the cops.
All right, no doubt. That's
like for what?
That's definitely the play. You know what I'm saying? You ain't gonna outdo me in this on this corner because I can't whoop your ass and I'm high right now. I'm gonna call the motherfucking police. I'm gonna call my gang. But
anyway.
Fuck that motherfucker. Yeah, the other motherfucker got pushed out the paint. You saw the one where
where's your fob?
Yeah, where's your
fuck out of here.
I mean, he took a long time to get through that dough because I would have been like, please, please.
Patience.
You know what I'm saying?
Could you kindly step aside, please?
Get the fuck out of here. Thinking, that bullshit.
Where's your fob? And then the end was like, I just want to introduce myself. You know, you too far gone. You look crazy in this narrative. They're trying to save themselves on this fucking viral content. I just want to say hello.
I mean, I'm your neighbor.
Get the fuck out of here. Oh, man.
I mean, he took a long. I was waiting for the fuck out of here. The fuck out of here was supposed to be at first sight.
Where was this at? Hollywood?
Nah,
man,
that
I'm
was in
St.
Louis.
Okay, well, there you go.
St. Louis. That's bit, close maybe. To Ferguson. You
yeah,
know,
so
shooting,
it might be.
They be shooting niggas out there, you know.
Yeah, well, is that true?
Mike Brown. Shout out, you know, man. R.I.P.
R.I.P.
Yeah, man. Yeah, shit. Yes, so,
you know.
T.I. dropped the record.
Yeah.
Reverend Martin Luther T.I.
Yes, he did.
You know what I'm saying? He feel like he got his energy back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He feeling good. You know what I mean? I like some of the stuff on there. I like more than what I like on the album.
Uh-huh.
I like that he's found a groove musically.
Uh-huh.
That sounds exciting, sounds energetic,
uh-huh.
Sounds like, okay, that's T.I., I know, god damn. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
yeah.
I was happy about that. You know, it's a few cuts. I listened to the whole thing. It's a few cuts that I fuck with. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just happy that man is in his groove in the space where I know him from. You know, not that he can't do all the other shit he do. You know what I'm saying? Because appreciate that, too. Appreciate all the hustle. But I like that he's... T.I. right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
Not Clifford.
What's the difference between Clifford and T.I.?
I don't know. sound like
sound like a good
a delineation.
To... Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying? Good little separation of character.
Good fade out.
You know what I'm saying? You got T.I., you got T.I., right. Tip. I think Tip is the original one. Tip is the wild one.
That's the wild one.
Then you got T.I.
T.I. once, like, hold on now, stakes are getting a little higher. We got some money.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Then you got Clifford. Reverend Martin Luther Clifford.
Oh, yeah.
T.I.
Activist.
What's his last name?
Harris.
Harris. You know, the activist and, you know, father on TV.
Right. I like how he's kind of assuming his role as an elder in the game, in the trap. You know what I mean? Like, he even like, I hate the term rollout. What about the rollout? I hate the rollout. But anyway, in the rollout, I noticed that they did the little trap museum.
Right.
And shout out to D.L. Warfield because I think he was involved.
Instrumental
in that. Shout out to that man. But he did the trap museum. So that kind of, speaking of hip-hop historians, and, you know, kind of puts him in a setting of a forefather. You know what I'm saying? Of a genre. He's a forefather. You're a forefather. You're OG.
Right.
And what I think, I was watching some of his interviews. He's like, even on the record, because what was cool about T.I. early on was, it was it was uncut. It was straight ahead. This is how I'm living. This is what I see. This is what I do. Right. Then he had the shit with the law, with the guns, and then he had to kind of reformat his whole public persona, and it was kind of like, I still got a short fuse, but I can't really tell you how I could do what I could do. So now I gotta weaponize these words and these vowels on your ass. I gotta put a full clip of fucking syllables together and AR the fuck out of this IG post.
That wasn't as effective.
No. But what I like, though, is like now on this album, he kind of holding himself accountable where he could kind of talk about shit. Mm-hmm. And he talking about it all, because it was always like, yo, you know, out of respect, nobody want to talk about this shit, but it's like on the blogs and it's glaring, you know what I'm saying? And like now, you kind of being a little bit more candid about your life. I think,
man, it was nothing left, man.
It's kind of like, I think 444 kind of really helped.
Give the grown man a lane.
Yeah, get a grown man a leg a little bit more. Nigga get his reflection on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because, you know, sometimes you need to hear the cautionary tale.
Yeah, yeah.
You need to hear, hold on, brother historian.
It's probably one more wave of that. Probably, you know, somebody come out with the 222 album, then I could drop my shit.
Which is going to be 111?
I don't know. I'm just saying it needed to be another level of grown man dropped. Hilarious. Before I could come in and drop my shit.
Oh, man. Nah, but I like that, man. Yeah, it's cool. It's a cool album, man. I fuck with it. I got to get back to it. I liked it, though. Some shit over there.
Yeah, man.
It's a lot of music coming out, man.
Yeah, I didn't listen. I know a lot of shit came out. I didn't listen to it all. What else came out?
I don't even appreciate it now. All the music come out. Nah, I mean, it is what it is. It's just a lot. Fucking Quavo put out an album.
I did listen to Quavo. Uh-huh. Quavo got some cuts.
He got some shit.
Quavo almost got, Reverend Martin Luther Quavo on their ass on some of them records.
Really? Oh, I got to hear that.
He's a little activist Quavo.
Oh, really?
Activist, not the drug. Activist.
No, all right. Well, shit. What's his cause?
I mean, it was like, you got this song where he talking about the police, you know what I'm saying? He's saying some stuff, you know, through.
Surprising you. You're like,
yeah,
okay,
I'm like, I didn't know. I didn't know Quavo had it in his conscience to, you know what I mean, even go in that direction remotely.
There's too much shit going on. Every voice count.
Yeah, Quavo.
Quavo
got a couple of little things in the record, man.
Message.
Okay. But, you know, he stick to his MO, though, for the most part.
Right.
You know I like the Migos and shit.
Yeah.
Migos going to, I know, like, LeBron on the show has said that a rapper going to do his autobiography or whatever. He said he wants a rapper to do it in music.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's cool.
Oh, I know you're going. Go ahead.
I've always said, when they do my documentary on my life, I'm going to have the Migos do the narration.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? The nigga had the podcast. Conversation.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's, you know,
a good exclamation.
Yeah, hype it up when you get to that point where you feel like you was doing that shit. This is like,
yeah, they get you right.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout.
Some ad libs and some motherfucking hype.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I fuck with them, but you know what I'm saying? It's, you know, his standard MO. He got a few. He surprised me a little bit on that, but you know, it's his standard. You know what I'm saying? Standard play. He got joints that's gonna go in the club, and the beats is always on point. Whatever, whatever.
I gotta listen to it again. These shits are so many records. It's just a long playlist of listening through, just to say you at least heard it.
Right.
But I didn't really hear it. You know what I mean? I heard it play.
Right.
But I didn't really ingest anything.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I don't know the last album where I was like, yo, this shit here? Wow. That's all I could listen to. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Daytona. That lasted maybe 2 weeks. That's my new, to it all the time. Right. 2 weeks is the
two
span.
Weeks, 2 weeks is...
2 weeks is a long fucking time nowadays, though.
I listen to the Drake album. I haven't really got all the way off of it.
Mm-hmm.
It's still in the mix.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? I revisited it's a couple of Wayne joints that's in my playlist.
Mm.
But, yeah.
I ain't doing that.
I'm We tried to listen to the Anderson .Paak.
That didn't come out yet, did it?
Nah, but I've been trying to catch up since I'm behind. But you know, I don't be caring about being up to date. Cause to me, music lasts a lifetime. You know what I'm saying? And sometimes you get caught up in the wave of what's happening right now and you don't really appreciate the artistry that goes into it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? It's like the Game had dropped an album once and everybody was just on it. Like, everybody was like, oh, this is crazy. And I didn't even listen to it because everybody was talking about how crazy it was. So I missed that whole album. Then when he dropped the next album, nobody was talking about it at all. And I listened to it. I'm like, yo, this nigga got some shit. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I appreciated the fuck out of what he did on that last album, whatever the shit was. And I'm like, yo, he had a couple of joints. I'm like, yeah, I like what this motherfucker did right here. But, you know, when we were growing up, the music cycle was so long, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, you know, like I think about a song and I remember it popping like this particular summer, like summer, you know what I'm saying, 91 or some shit, summer 92.
Right.
And then you look it up and that shit dropped, you know what I'm saying, October 91.
Right.
You know what I mean? But
took all that time to burn.
Yeah, it's like, you know what I mean, it was a longer cycle. Like, you know what I mean, it wasn't as many albums dropping from so many different artists. It wasn't that many outlets playing the shit, you know what I'm saying? So you really spending time with it on your cassette.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, or CD or whatever, and spending time with it because you're not going to hear all that shit on the radio like that.
That was the shit back in the day. Like, somebody else playing the same shit you was listening to. You pull up, like, at a light or something, right, or you walk into a sneaker store, they playing a record. You're like, oh, shit, because to your point, it wasn't everywhere like it is now.
Right. And it had a longer cycle. Like, you might have a dude, you might have an artist come out and not even have an album for another year. And that fucking single just be bumping, just playing. You know what I'm saying? It's just like playing. Like, the distance between when Dougie Fresh the show came out and when Dougie Fresh first album came out seemed like that shit was so long.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
But the show had never stopped playing. You know, that shit gonna come on in the party and still rock.
It's like Snoop. I think the first Snoop single was out for a long time. Oh, maybe that was for his shit on the Crown. I remember waiting for the Snoop album for super long. I remember going to the record store, like, yo, is it here? Nah. Because it used to be in the Source when it was coming out. I think that shit kept getting pushed back. I remember being, that was probably one of the first albums I was thirsty about. Like, that was about, I was ready to spend my own money.
The world was like, thirsty about was that,
like,
right?
Nah, Pop, ain't come out yet. Nah, ain't come. And that shit felt like a wow. Yeah.
It was just like the Chronic. Like, the Chronic lifespan lasted damn near 2 years. You know what I'm saying? Just from the first time, Ain't Nothing But a G Thing, to all the way. By the time the motherfucking Let Me Ride video came out, they had Disc Cube on the damn song. And by the time it came out, they had done made up and he in the video.
Uh-huh.
That's how long that shit was.
Wow. That's crazy. You know what, though? The cats that are still dope, though, not dope, but the cats that, like, put out substantial albums, they still let that shit just rock. Like, Kendrick Lamar don't rush an album.
Right.
He put that shit out, and he might come back a year and a half later, do it again. Like, J. Cole will do shit like that. Jay-Z will do shit like that. Like,
but
certain artists, you just go, they like event artists.
But it ain't even, like, the artists themselves. It's just, like, the system. So, like, back in the day, I mean, it's not an old man, young man kind of talk, but it's just how it was looking historically. Mm-hmm. A DJ would not be afraid to put on them old cuts or like the cut that's, you know what I'm saying, not the freshest shit. Like, sometimes I go to an event and motherfuckers just playing all new shit, then all of the standard hits that every party you go to hit. And I'm like, yo, when the fuck did this come back as, this one particular record come back as the song to play at every party?
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, Sunshine Anderson, heard it all before.
It's the shit now.
Every time I go to a party, somebody sent out a memo that this is a joint.
Uh-huh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it had like a fucking 7-year hiatus.
Yeah.
And then somebody all of a sudden said, all right, this is the joint.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It was unearthed by someone else, a historian.
You know what I'm saying? But it's like, but the DJs who jump on it seem like they just jump on it as the wave. Like, you know what I mean?
It becomes the poison.
Right. It's like, you know, so it's DJs don't do, like, the work as far as, you know, keeping other shit in rotation. Everybody competing for like what's popping, what's popping. Let's do the playlist. What's popping? Like Afrobeat, everybody on that shit right now. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like when you do find a DJ that has his own point of view,
yeah.
and has, you know, don't have to rely on what's cracking. You know, it's always something to see.
They the best.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout them out. If you know who the new hot DJs, yo, niggas laugh at me in the group chat because I'm always a poll-taking ass nigga. I'm always like, that's how I try to audit all the new information.
Right.
I'm like, so, like, I'm good for like, so who the new hot creatives that you fuck with right now? Who
creatives,
you fuck with?
That's so broad.
So broad. I keep broad as fuck. All right, so that's what, okay, bet. I'll go study these people. But like, yeah.
It's powerful because in my day in Miami, Uncle Al had his own point of view.
Right.
And he had the voice of the street. Like, he was in the streets. You know what I'm saying? So this nigga could take a old-ass Barry Wright record and the way he played and how he ride on the shit, make that shit like a brand-new record that, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
That ends up being sampled and ends up in other records because the streets just is on it so hard. But it was just his point of view to say, you know what, Barry White, boy, we going to bring that shit. We going to keep that shit popping.
Yeah.
We going to keep it popping. Like, that's the sound of Miami, even though he from Watts.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Barry White is the sound of Miami, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because Uncle Al, how Uncle Al played him, you know what I mean?
He made him the sound of Miami.
He made that the sound because it was a lot of instrumentals, gave him a lot of room to talk on the mic and do his thing. And it had that energy. It had that Miami speed and pace,
right?
You know? And it wasn't nobody fucking with him on that. You know what I mean? He had a point of view. He didn't play what everybody was playing. Yeah. Everybody played what he played after he made it hot.
Right.
But like, Luke would take all the records that Uncle Al made hot
and sample them
bitches and put them in a record and them shits become hits. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, that whole shit, Santa Claus Coming with Trick Daddy first record, Scarred. That shit was a record that Uncle Al made famous.
From Barry White?
From Barry White. Love Unlimited Orchestra. Yeah. Together Brothers.
The
theme from Together Brothers.
And that's where Cat Keep Coming. Really?
You know what I'm saying? But Uncle had that popping in the streets for at least 2 years. It was just, that shit come on, everybody like, they had dance to this bitch and all that.
You can't tell me Barry White didn't influence Rick Ross's style a little bit.
I'm telling you, Barry White was the king of Miami.
I can see
you know what I'm saying? Even though, like I said, he wasn't from there, we ain't never seen him, but his music is the soundtrack of the city.
But even in, like, not even just in presentation, but even in instrumentation. Because when you think of fucking Barry, that Love Unlimited, that shit was strings and all that shit.
It was a real orchestra.
You listen to some Rick Ross shit, he always getting the strings off.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's an influence. And that's the power of a DJ with the point of view.
Right. I always thought Bobito was a dope DJ with a point of view. You know what I mean? Like, from first, you know, when he was doing the college radio shit with Stretch, there was a point of view, there was some real hip hop shit. But then later on, it was almost like rediscovering him when he was DJing at an apartment. He would play all of this other, like, you know, he'd play like Brazilian, like some fucking samba shit, play some old shit, some dusty shit you never heard before. And then, you know, it was always the little sign, like, no requests. And that motherfucker play shit you ain't never heard before. And the fact that the shit was popping, you just fucking, you were like, yo, I trust this cat. You know what I mean? They know where he going. He know where he going. I'm fucking with it.
Right.
And that was, and it's not, that's few and far between. It's not a whole lot of DJs that have a strong point of view. It's a lot of record players out there.
Right. You know? But when you do get one, that's what I mean. It might be a DJ listening. You know what I'm saying? It's like, music don't die. You know what I mean? It's a lot of music out in the world to choose from.
It's energy.
To craft a point of view.
Yeah.
You know? And somebody out there that's doing that. You know what I mean? It's people that's doing it. And I just want them people, you know, to get wind under their wings and keep doing what they're doing because that's what drives the culture. That's what makes shit different. That's what these little pockets of of music comes from. Like, you know, if you look back at a lot of the music that's coming out of different cities, a lot of that shit be coming out of one place influenced by one set of people. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, Screw in Houston, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like ghetto style DJs in Miami and niggas like Jam Pony and, you know, the motherfuckers out in Atlanta, DJ Jelly and whoever's at 559 and the Bounce and Bankhead, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. All of those little movements was coming out of these little places and then turning into big things.
Right.
And so it's them point of views and it's that let's do our thing our way that makes culture grow. Mm-hmm. And you know what I'm saying? That's the shit I be loving.
That's what's up. That's what's up. Yo, at your favorite DJ in the SoundCloud comments, if they on SoundCloud, you at them so we know what it is. real quick, before we get out of here, I'm noticing a sad trend, and I'm already over it. There's a lot of clickbait, gotovote.com type of tweets. Mm-hmm. People like, yo, you won't believe what happened. This is, oh, shit, look at such and such just ran into the, this was a problem. This is why they broke up. You go click on this shit, it's vote.com. It's a damn shame niggas gonna trick people into getting political, but it is what it is.
I don't think they gonna have to this time. I don't think so either. I think they've activated all units, you know what I'm saying? They got all, you know what I'm saying, the hillbillies activated, you know what I'm saying? You got college students, you got the Black Lives Matter. Everybody activated. I think everybody know what to do this time.
Yeah, we'll see. Let's do it. Speaking of activation, where you going to be this week?
Man, I'm going to be here. I'm going to be in town for a couple of weeks, man. So I'm rooted in Brooklyn. You know what I'm saying?
There you go.
I'll be on the gram, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying, at Mr. Muhammad. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? I check in on the Twitter at Mr. Muhammad. Mm-hmm. And other than that, man, I'd be around, man, doing grown man shit on my 444.
There you go. Or 222.
66. No.
What you got to do?
Hey, no.
Drizzy. shit, I'm going to be local, too. I'll be at Stand Up New York this Saturday on the 8 o'clock show and the 10 o'clock show. And then I'm also going to be there. Yeah, I'll be there on the 8 o'clock show and the 10 o'clock show Saturday the 20th. Check that out. Also, shit, Comedy Knockout tonight, 11 p.m. True TV. Make sure y'all check that out. And until next week, tell a friend to tell a friend.
And even enemy.
To get in the conversation.
To be in the conversation.